Amen, brother. In 2 Kings chapter number 13, and in 2 Kings 13, we of course just read about the end of the life of Elisha, and we see upon the end of his life, we see that King Joash, the king of Israel, comes down to be with Elisha as he is sick and is about to pass away. 2 Kings 13, look at verse number 14, the Bible again says, "Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness wherever he died." It says, "And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." So here we have King Joash, the king of Israel, who comes down and he's mourning over the fact that Elisha is about to pass away. And what I want you to understand about this man, Joash, the king of Israel, is that this man was a man who was in need of help. Here we see King Joash, who is a man who is a backslidden man. Notice what it says in verse number 10 there, in 2 Kings 13, verse 10. It says, "And in the 30th and 7th year of Joash, king of Judah, began," notice, "Jehoash." Now, Jehoash is Joash, the king of Israel. It says, "Began Jehoash, the son of Jehoahaz, to reign over Israel and Samaria, and reigned 16 years." But notice what it says about this man in verse 11. It says, "And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He departed not from all the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel sin." But it says, notice, "But he walked therein." So I want you to notice that this man, Joash, the king of Israel, it says he departed not from the sins of Jeroboam. It says he was a backslidden man. He was not living for the Lord. He was not doing that which was pleasing in his sight. It says he was walking in the sins of Jeroboam. So here we see a man who is a backslidden man. But not only that, we see a man who also is in bondage. Notice what it says in verse number 3 in 2 Kings 13. Look at verse 3. It says, "And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel." It says, "And he delivered them into the hand of," notice, "Hazael, king of Syria, and into the hand of Ben-Hadad, the son of Hazael," notice, "all their days." What you have to understand is that at this time, during the life of Joash, even during the life of his father, throughout his reign, his nation, his people, he himself, they were under the bondage, under the oppression of the nation of Syria. So here we see a man, Joash, going to the man of God, Elisha. And we see a man who is not living for God. We see a man who is backslidden. We see a man who is also in bondage. You know, as the king, it's his job to bring deliverance. And right now, him and his people, they're under the bondage of the nation of Syria. And what I want to focus on is this story, this interaction between Elisha and King Joash. Because before Elisha passes away, he looks at Joash and he tells Joash that Joash can have the victory in his life. He tells Joash that he could defeat the Syrians, that he could have the Lord's deliverance. And notice what it says in verse number 15. Again, 2 Kings 13, verse 15. It says, "And Elisha said unto him," notice, "take bow and arrows." And he, this is Joash, "took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said," notice, "open the window eastward." And he opened it. Then Elisha said, "shoot." And he shot. And he said, notice, "the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria." Notice what it says. It says, "For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them." So before Joash passes away, I'm sorry, before Elisha passes away, before he dies, he tells Joash, "Hey, take the arrow, open the window, shoot eastward." And he shoots an arrow. And Elisha said, "That is the arrow of the Lord's deliverance." And he tells Joash, "Hey, you will defeat the Syrians. Hey, you will have victory over them. You will consume them until they're no more." And, you know, oftentimes in life, keep your place here in 2 Kings, but go to Romans chapter number 8, Romans chapter 8, but keep your place here in 2 Kings, that's our text. You know, oftentimes in life, you know, we like it when we see verses like this where God promised us victory in our life. Here we see a man, Joash, who is backslidden, who's not living for God, who is in bondage, and yet Elisha says, you know what, God will deliver you. God will bring victory in your life. Romans chapter number 8, you go to Romans 8, you know, we like verses like that. You know, people, they get in hard times. They get in bondage, their life is not going well, they go through hard times and they come to church, you know, and they read the Bible and they look at the Bible, they hear the preaching, and God says, "Hey, I can help you in that area of life." You know, when it comes to the victories that you must win, there's a lot of victories we should win. We should have victories in our Christian life. You know, we should choose to say that our Christian life is going to be a life that is going to be a victorious one, not a Christian life of defeat. You know, when you think about your family is a victory that you must have in your life. You know, if you're a father or if you're a husband, you as a leader, you should decide, you know what, I'm going to win in the area of my life. And when it comes to sin, you know, people get into the bondage of sin. And they come to church and they see the Bible, they hear the man of God preach, and God promises, hey, you can have victory. And the truth is, you can have victory. And we like those verses. In Romans chapter 8, notice what it says in verse 35. It says in verse 35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" Notice what it says. It says, "Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness, or peril, or sword. And these are the things that we experience in the Christian life sometimes. You know, we go through hard times, we go through tribulation, we go through distress, we go through the persecution, the famine. But it goes on, it says, notice, as it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. But notice what it says. It says, nay. It says, in all these things, in all what things? In all the tribulation, in all the hard times, in all the struggles, it says, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. See, in life, you know, God can promise us the way Elisha promised Joash, you can have the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. You can win that victory. And we see these verses, hey, you know what? We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. And look, and in your life, there are some battles in your life that you must endeavor to win. Look, there's some battles that you just can't afford to lose. You know, all of us as Christians, if you're living the Christian life, realize that that is a battle that you cannot afford to lose in your life. And oftentimes, many people fail in that battle. They lose in that battle. Yet all the while, God promises, hey, you can win through the distress, through the troubles, through the trials. You can have victory. He says, in all things, we're more than conquerors. You know, in your home, if you're a parent raising kids, like, that is a battle you must endeavor to win. Like, you can't afford as a parent to lose in the battle of you raising your kids. You know, if you're a man, look, you should endeavor to be a leader in your home, in your life, at your job. Look, there are battles in life that you just can't afford to lose. And we see these verses where God says, in all things, we are more than conquerors through the hard times, and God promises victory. Go back to 2 Kings. He puts it in the New Testament, but go back to 2 Kings 13. And look, and we like these verses. We like it when we're in bondage and going through hard times and going through struggles and going through pain. Look, all of us have struggles. All of us have sin we're dealing with. But God says, you know, we can have victory. We can win. But oftentimes the truth is that we fail to experience that victory. We fail to experience the victory in the battles that you and I must win. And the question is why? Why do we fail to experience the victory that God so often promises in our lives? Well, notice what happened here in the story in 2 Kings 13. Look at verse number 17 again. It says, and he said, open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them. You know, that sounds great. He said, I'm going to promise you the victory. But notice what it says in the next verse. It said, and he said, take the arrows. And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. Notice, now Elisha tells Joash, hey, now grab the arrows. And what I want you to do is I want you to smite upon the ground. But notice what Joash does. It says, and he smote thrice and stayed. See, Joash grabs the arrows and he smites once. He smites twice. And he smites three times. And you know, and says, you know what? I'm done. I'm going to stop. It says, and he smote thrice and stayed. And notice the response from the man of God. In verse 19, it says, and the man of God was wroth with him and said, thou shouldest have smitten five or six times. Then hast thou smitten Syria till thou have consumed it, whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. Notice Elisha, he's wroth with Joash. He's angry with Joash. He said, Joash, you should have smitten five or six times. See, Joash was only willing to go so far. Joash was only willing to do so much. And the man of God is wroth with Joash because Elisha knows, hey, you can have this victory. Would you just please smite upon the ground? And we have Joash just doing what? Just going once, twice, three times. So you know what? I'm done. And Elisha looks at Joash and says, you know what? You could have had more victories. You could have defeated the Syrians. But all you did is you smote thrice. And you know what? That's all you're going to get. It says, whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. And if you notice in the life of Joash, well, look at verse 25. Notice what it says in verse 25, 2 Kings 13. It says, and Jehoash, the son of Jehoahaz, took again out of the hand of Ben-Hadad, the son of Hazael, the cities, which he had taken out of the hand of Jehoahaz, his father, by war. And I want you to notice what it says at the end of this chapter. It says, notice, three times did Joash beat him and recovered the cities of Israel. See, in the life of Joash, in his battle against the Syrians, in the battle that he had to fight, it says he only defeated the Syrians three times. See, Joash in his life got exactly what came to him. He got exactly what he gave. See, Elisha said, smite upon the ground. And Joash said, you know what? I'm only willing to go so far. I'm willing to smite three times and then I'm done. And Elisha said, you know what? If that's what you're going to give, then that's exactly what you're going to get in your life. And then look, in your life, what am I preaching on this morning? This morning I'm preaching on the fact that you get what you give. In your life, in the battles that you must endeavor to win, in the battles that you must choose to win, whether it's your Christian life, whether it's in your home, whether it's at your job, in your life in general, you will only win with what you put into it. You will only get in your life exactly what you give. And here we see Joash, the fact that he was willing to smite three times, and Elisha said, okay, then that's all you're going to get. And look, in your life, you only get what you put in. So don't expect more in any area of your life unless you're willing to put in some more. Because in life, you only get what you give. And so this morning, I want to preach on this idea on the fact that you in your life, and look, all of us, we have battles in life. Look, there are areas in your life where you must choose to win. You must choose to win in your Christian life. But in that area, you only get what you're going to give. You must choose to win with raising your kids. But with your kids, you're only going to win with them based on what you put into them. In your marriage, if you're not putting into your marriage, how do you expect to win in your marriage? Look, in your life, whether it's at your job, you're only going to get out of your job exactly what you put into it. In your life, you will get what you give. And so I want to give you three thoughts on this idea, on the fact that you get what you give. So number one, if you get what you give, then you should not be half-hearted. If you get what you give, then you should not be half-hearted. See, Joash was a man who was half-hearted. Notice what it says in verse 18. It says, and he said, take the arrows. And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. But notice what it says. It says, and he smote thrice. It says, and stayed. See, Joash was a man who was what? He was half-hearted. See, if Joash was really zealous, if Joash was really putting his all, putting his effort into it, if Joash really wanted to defeat the Syrians, he would have been angry. And he would have been smiting 5, 6, 7 times, making sure that he did his part to win in that area. But we see a man who was what? We see a man who was half-hearted. His heart wasn't into it. He wasn't willing to go all the way. He's just only doing what the minimum was. He said, I'm only willing to go so far. And we see a man who's half-hearted. And look, in your life, you will fail in your life in the areas that you must win if you are half-hearted in those areas. Can you place there in 2 Kings, Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes 9. So see a man who is half-hearted. What does it mean to be half-hearted? It means that you're lacking heart. Your heart's not in it. It means that you're lacking spirit. It means that you're lacking interest. And we see a man who, yeah, he wanted to win, but he didn't want it that bad. His heart wasn't into it. You go to Ecclesiastes 9. Look, and look, in your area, in the areas that you must win in your life, whether it's a Christian life, if you're going to win in the Christian life, you can't be half-hearted. You got to put your all into it. You got to put your energy. You got to put your effort into it. When it comes to your home with your family, look, if you're a child, you must obey your parents. Look, if you're going to win, kids, if you want to succeed in life, learn to obey your parents fully. Put your heart into it. If you're a parent, put your heart into your kids. You can't go into life just half-hearted. So Ecclesiastes 9, look at verse number 10. The Bible says, whatsoever thy hand finds to do. Notice what it says. It says, do it with thy might. It says, do it with all your strength. Whatever your hand finds to do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. And look, if you're going to win, whether it's in your family, like if you're married, and if you want to win in your marriage, the only way it's going to happen is if you put all your effort into it. You can't be like Joash, I'm only willing to go so far in my marriage. Or I'm only willing to go so far with my kids. Or I'm only willing to go so far at my job. Or in the Christian life. Well, look, when you're half-hearted, you're going to lose. And so, look, you cannot be half-hearted in some areas. Go, if you would, to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. And look, you ought to endeavor. Look, if you can't be half-hearted, look, there's some areas in life where you must put your all into it. There are some areas in your life. Look, if you're going to win, you must put your entire heart into it. It says, whatsoever thy hand finds to do, do it with thy might. So if you get what you give, then look, you should not be half-hearted in your Christian life. If you're half-hearted in the Christian life, if you're half-hearted in your walk with God, look, you're not going to win. You're not going to succeed. Luke chapter 9, look what it says in verse number 62. It says in verse 62, and Jesus said unto him, notice, no man having put his hand to the plow, notice what it says, and looking back. Here I have a man who decides to live for God, decides to walk with God. He decided to put his hand on the plow. But all the while, what is he doing? It says he's busy looking back. And you look at this man, a man who decides to go to work for the Lord, who puts his hand to the plow, yet all the while he's looking around. You think his heart's into it? You think his mind is focused on what he's doing? You think his heart is in what he's doing? When all the while he's supposed to be working for God, living for God, putting his hand to the plow, yet his mind is turned somewhere else. Does it look like this man's heart is into it? It says, no man, notice, having put his hand to the plow and looking back. Notice what it says. It says, is fit for the kingdom of God. It says, you're not fit. Meaning what? Meaning you're not suitable. You're not ready. And look, the problem isn't the plow. Because people often get to the place where they think the Christian life is too much work. Look, the problem is never the plow. The problem with this man is the fact that he's looking back. the fact that his heart is not into it. And look, in your Christian life, you want to endeavor, say, you know what? You're going to win in your Christian life. And if you're going to win, look, you should not be half-hearted in your walk with God. You should put your heart into, put your energy, put your effort into your Christian life. Go, if you would, to Titus chapter number 2. Titus 2. In Colossians 3:23, the Bible says, "And whatsoever you do it, you do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." And look, when it comes to the Christian life, living for God, being someone who says, you know what, I'm going to follow the Lord, I'm going to be in church, I'm going to go soul winning, I'm going to read my Bible, I'm going to pray, I'm going to be pleasing to God. Look, that is an endeavor, that is a work that you cannot be double-hearted in. You must put your energy, you must put your effort into it. Titus 2, look at verse number 14, Titus 2, in verse 14, notice what it says about the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, who gave himself for us. See, here it says that Jesus Christ gave himself for us. Why? It says, notice that he might what? That he might redeem us from all iniquity. But not just that, it says, notice, and purify unto himself, notice, a peculiar people. See, God wants to purify us unto himself, not just a peculiar people, but notice what it says. It says, zealous of good works. It says, God wants you and I, the way you and I live our life should be a life of zealousness. That we should be a life with passion. With zealous means to be passionate. See, God does not want you to live your Christian life in a way where you're just flipping about it. Where it's like, yeah, I'm going to live for God. Yeah, I'm going to go to church. Yeah, I'm going to read my Bible here and there. Yeah, I'm a Christian, but you know, I'm just a Christian once in a while. No, God says, I want you to be zealous in your works. I want you to put your heart, your passion, your into it. Look, whatsoever thy hand finds to do, do it with thy might. If you're going to be a Christian, put your heart into it. Put your hand to the plow. Don't look back. Just go forward and endeavor to win that race. Endeavor to win that battle. Why? Because look, you're only going to win in the Christian life what you put into it. You're only going to get out of your Christian life exactly what you put into it. And look, so and you think about our church. You know, our church going on 10 years, coming up in September. You know, our church right now celebrating the one-year anniversary in Fresno. You know, our church started a church in Vancouver, in Boise, two churches in the Philippines. Look, our church is doing great things for God over the past 10 years. And if you think about, like, our pastor, if you think if he was half-hearted in his Christian life, you think he said to his wife, you know, let's just start a church, see how it goes. Let's just, you know, have a couple services. We'll put a little bit of effort into it. We'll put a little bit of this and that into it. We'll put a little bit of energy. You think that's going to be successful? You think this church would be where it's at if we had a leader who was just half-hearted in his endeavor? The reason this church has accomplished so much is because there was a man and a woman who put their heart into the ministry. And look, they're getting exactly what they put into it. And look, you and your in your life, you will get exactly in your Christian life what you put into it. So decide, hey, I'm going to put my heart into the things of God. So if you get what you give, look, then don't be half-hearted in your Christian life. And look, and if you get what you give, like, then don't be half-hearted in church. Don't be half-hearted in church. Go to 1 Timothy, if you would, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Look, you get what you give. And if you get what you give, then don't be half-hearted. Give it your all. Give it your heart. Give it your energy. And look, you should not be half-hearted in church. Did you know that you will only get out of this church exactly what you put into it? Amen. You will only get out of this church what you put into it. Don't be the person that says, well, I'm going to go there and see what they can do for me. Look, if you're that person, look, you're going to get exactly what you put into it, which is nothing. But if you decide, hey, I'm going to go to church, I'm going to see what God can teach me, I'm going to see what the Bible says, I'm going to pay attention, then look, you're probably going to learn something. You're probably going to do something. Look, the people who get the most out of this church are the people who give the most. 1 Timothy 4, look what it says in verse 13. It says, notice, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Here we have Paul telling Timothy, he says, notice, I want you to give attendance. I want you to pay attention to three things. He said reading, but then he also says this, and exhortation, and to doctrine. See, Paul told Timothy, I want you to give your attention to the exhortation of the Word of God. What is that? That's the preaching of the Word of God. When somebody's exhorting you in the Word of God, he says, I want you to pay attention to those things. But notice what he says in verse 15. It says, notice, meditate upon these things. Meditate upon what things? Upon the reading, upon the doctrine, upon the exhortation. He said, meditate upon these things. Notice what he says. It says, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Actually, Paul told Timothy, hey, when it comes to the reading, when it comes to the doctrine, but also when it comes to the exhortation, he said, I want you to give yourself wholly to them. See, Paul doesn't want you to be half-hearted, Timothy. He said, yeah, he's not saying, hey, when you're there, just see what you can learn, just, you know, listen here and there. No, give yourself wholly to them. And look, if you want to come to this church, you're only going to get out of this church exactly what you put into it. It says, give thyself wholly to them. Notice what it says. It says, that thy profiting may appear to all. What does it mean, the profit? It means that you benefit from something. And look, when you see someone who benefits from church, realize that it's not an accident. It's not just coming in. No, but they gave themselves wholly to them. And look, if you want to succeed in this church or any church, look, give yourself wholly to those things. You got to give yourself wholly to church. You say, who are the people who are the most successful in this church? And it's the people who give the most to this church. The people who volunteer, the people who are faithful soul winning, the people who come to all three services, those people are the people who are getting the most out of this church. But look, that could be you. You could be the person who gets the most out of this church. You say, how is it done? Well, you give more. Give yourself wholly to those things. Why? That thy profiting, so that you can benefit, that thy profiting may appear to all. So don't be the church member who is in it half-heartedly. You're there, but you're not really there. You're gone for weeks, but nobody notices because you're never really there. Give yourself wholly to the things of God. Give yourself wholly to the church. Like, that is the way you'll win in church. So if you get what you get, like, then don't be half-hearted. Don't be half-hearted in your Christian life. Don't be half-hearted in church, but you should not be half-hearted in your family. Go to Ephesians 5, if you would, Ephesians chapter 5. And look, there's some areas where you can't lose. Look, if you're a man, if you're a husband, look, that your family is an area that you cannot afford to lose. That is a victory. You must endure. You must struggle. You must fight to win to the end. Look, if you're a mom, then you know what? It is your endeavor. It is your battle to win with your children, to go into the end. Look, if you're a grandparent, look, you got to realize that your grandchildren are looking up to you. And if you're a grandparent whose parents are not living for God, you may be their only hope. You may be that testimony that they need to look at so that one day they could say, you know what, I remember grandma or grandpa that they were living for God. And that could be the way that they grow up and live for God as well. Look, in your family, that is a battle you cannot be half-hearted in. You can't say, well, I'm going to try in this area. No, put your heart, put your endeavor into it. Ephesians 5, here we have God speaking to the leader, to the husbands in verse 25. Notice what it says. It says, husbands, notice, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. Notice what it says. It says, and gave himself for it. See, the heart, husband, dad, that you should have towards your family is the same heart that Jesus Christ gave when he gave himself to the church. And do you think Jesus Christ was flippant on the fact that he died for us? That he died for our sins? The fact that he gave his life for the church? You see, that is the example, that is the model of how husbands ought to be in their home. When it comes to our family, dad, our heart should be given fully to our family. Like, you can't be in a marriage saying, yeah, I'm going to try it out, see how it goes. No, you got to put your heart into those things. Ephesians 5, look at verse 22. Here we have God speaking to the wives in verse 22. It says, notice, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Notice what it says, as unto the Lord. See, when God looks at a wife, he said, wife, submit yourself. It doesn't say half-heartedly. It doesn't say here and there. No, it says as unto the Lord. It means you ought to endeavor to be the spouse where your entire heart is in that marriage. And for children, in Colossians 3:20, don't turn there, but it says, children, obey your parents in all things. Look, children, when it comes to you obeying mom and dad, you got to put your heart into it. Put your effort into it. Look, there's a promise to you kids that you will be successful in life when you choose to honor, to respect, to obey your parents. So don't be half-hearted in that area. Look, your family, your home, is not an area you can afford to lose. And you will only get what you get. Like, think about the fact, if you homeschool your kids and then you come home, or if you homeschool your kids but you don't teach them anything, you never spend time training them, showing them how to read, showing them how to count, do you think those kids are going to learn to read and write? Are they going to learn to be successful by you not just giving your heart into them? You know, if you're a dad and you just work all day and you just come home and you don't spend time with your kids, you're going to get exactly what you give them. In your relationship with your kids, look, you're going to get out of them what you give them. And if you're not willing to give them your heart, your attention, the discipline, the time they need to have a relationship with you, dad, then don't expect the relationship to be good when they're older. Look, in your life, in your home, you're going to get exactly what you put into it. So realize that when it comes to your home, you must put your heart into your home. Go for you to Romans 13, Romans chapter number 13. You see, what was Josh's problem? Josh's problem was the fact that he wasn't half-hearted, that he was half-hearted. His heart wasn't into it. He was willing to do so much. He was willing to go so far. But then he said, you know what? I'm only going to go thus far, and I'm going to stop. So don't be half-hearted in your Christian life. Don't be half-hearted in church. Don't be half-hearted in your family. And look, do not be half-hearted in your fight against sin. Don't be half-hearted in your fight against sin. Romans 13, notice what it says in verse 14. It says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh. Notice what it says, to fulfill the lust thereof. See, the Bible says, when it comes to your battle against sin, it says, make not provision to the flesh. It doesn't say, hey, make a little bit of provision. No, it says, don't make any provision. You know, there's a lot of young people in this church, and when it comes to a sin like fornication, young person, that is a battle that you must endeavor to win. You must endeavor to be a person who is pure until the day of your marriage, who is pure, who avoids fornication, who flees fornication. Hey, how's it going to be done? It's going to be done by you making sure that your heart is into that battle, by not putting any provision for the flesh. And so realize, hey, if you're going to win and you're battling against sin, make no provision. Put your heart into it. And look, when it comes to a sin, whether it's alcohol or drugs, and you think, well, I'm going to stop, I'm just going to keep a few here and there around, you think you're going to win that battle? No, you got to put your heart into it, put your effort into it, and make no provision for the flesh. Don't allow yourself to be tempted with things that you know you're not supposed to do. And like when it comes to being enticed to sin by other people, realize that some people may entice you to sin, and that is a relationship you might need to stop. Make no provision for the flesh. But if you're half-hearted in your life, in your fight against sin, if you're half-hearted saying, I'm only going to do this much, I'm not willing to go all the way, look, you're not going to win in the end. You might have a few victories here and there like Joash, but in the end, you're not going to do what God has called you to do. So look, you will get what you give. Look, and if you get what you give, then you should not be half-hearted. Don't be half-hearted. Don't be the person that says, I'm going to try it, see how it goes. Look, you're going to fail. You're going to lose. Put your heart into it. Put your effort into it. Go back to 2 Kings 13. 2 Kings chapter number 13. Look, in life, you will get what you give. And if you get what you give, look, then don't be half-hearted. But if you get what you give, I want you to understand this, that your success depends on you. If you get what you give in life, then your success will depend on you. 2 Kings 13, look verse number 19 again. It says, and the man of God was wroth with him and said, thou shouldest have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then hast thou smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it. Notice what it says. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. See, Elisha said you should have done more. You should have gone 5 or 6 times, but now you're only going to beat them twice. And look at the last verse of the sentence. At the end of verse 25, it says, 3 times did Joash beat him and recovered the cities of Israel. See, whose choice was it to beat the Syrians 3 times? It was Joash's choice. Why? Because Elisha promised him, hey, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. God promises, hey, you will win. You will consume them until the end. God was there. God promised him the victory. But at the end of the day, Joash was the one who decided to only go so far. At the end of the day, Joash's success came down to Joash. And if you, in your life, you get what you give, then you know what? Your success depends on you. Your success in your Christian life, it doesn't depend on the preacher. It doesn't depend on God. Look, God is there. God already promises the victory. And all these things are more than conquerors. But you know what? Your success, whether it's your Christian life, whether it's your home, whether it's at your job, your success will ultimately depend on you. And look, King Joash was a man who was given all he needed to succeed. He had the promise of God, but not only that, but he had the help of God. I'm sorry, he had the help from the man of God. Notice what it says in verse 16. It says, and he said to the king of Israel, in verse 16, put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon him. And notice what Elisha did. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. See, Elisha was there supporting Joash. And Elisha did everything for Joash. He promised him the victory. He put his hand upon him. He's there supporting him. And like, and for people, you notice you can do everything for people. You can give them everything they want. People come to church and, you know, pastor will bend over backwards for them. But at the end of the day, look, it is up to you to win. At the end of the day, people can only do so much for you, but you are responsible for your own success in your life. And look, in your life, you will only succeed if you put into your life. You will only get what you get. You only get what you give. And your success will ultimately depend on you. Go to Proverbs 10, if you could, Proverbs 10. Which means what? Which means you will not succeed by accident. You will not win in whatever area in life by accident. Look, if you're going to make it to the end as a Christian, it's going to be on purpose. If you're going to have a successful marriage, it's only going to be done on purpose. If you're going to have successful kids in life, it's going to be done on purpose. If you're going to be successful at your job, it's going to be on purpose. And in Proverbs 10, and over and over in the book of Proverbs, we see a word that defines someone who is successful and it's not done by accident, and that word is diligent. Somebody who is diligent is somebody who succeeds. And what does it mean to be diligent? Diligent means having or showing care or conscientiousness in one's work or duties. Proverbs 10, look verse number 4. Proverbs 10, 4, it says, notice, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. It says, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. It says, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. But somebody who is diligent, somebody who shows care, like that is the person that will succeed. The person who succeeds, it's not done by accident. It is done because of diligence. Go to Proverbs 13, if you would. Proverbs 13, and look verse number 4, and look at your, in your life. If it's a sin you're struggling with, you're only going to defeat that sin on purpose. It's not going to be done by accident. Proverbs 13, look verse number 4 again. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing. It says, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. See, it's not an accident when you meet someone who's successful. It's not an accident when you see someone who is succeeding, who is winning. It's because they put into that work. See, Joash did win 3 times, but because Joash decided to only do so much. But if you're diligent in whatever area you want to win, God says, you know what? You're going to win. You're going to be successful. If you're diligent, meaning you show care, you put effort, you put your heart into it, you're diligent. Go to verse 20. Go to chapter 22, Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22. In verse number 29, notice what the Bible says. In verse 29, it says, seest thou a man, notice what it says, diligent in his business. It says, seest thou a man diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings. You see, the Bible says that you can look at someone and you can see someone who is diligent in their business. And that person is a person who's going to get promoted, who's going to stand before kings, who will be blessed by God, but it's done through diligence. And so when you see a man who is successful, whether it's in his ministry, whether it's in his home, whether it's in his kids, whether it's overcoming some sin, whether it's in his marriage, look, when you see someone successful, you're seeing a man diligent in his business. Look, if you're a mom and you see somebody raising good kids, it's because you have a mom who is diligent in that work. Look, the only way you're going to succeed is by being diligent, by you putting your all into it. And whatever area that is in your life, and look, you could be diligent in the wrong things. You know, growing up, I was a person who I played video games growing up. You know, but here's the thing. If I was still diligent in that business, do you think I'd be raising a family? If I'd be the person who was diligent just playing video games or just goofing off or not paying attention, look, you're going to fail in life. But if you're diligent in the areas that you must win in, look, you will succeed. You will win. Go to 2 Timothy, if you would. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Look, if you get what you give, then your success depends on you. And you will not succeed by accident. So you're either on your way to winning or you're on your way to working. The question is, how much effort are you putting into it? Are you diligent in your business? 2 Timothy 4, here we have the Apostle Paul who is ready to be delivered. The Apostle Paul who finished his life. And notice what he says at the end. It says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Verse 7, it says, notice what he says. It says, I have fought a good fight. It says, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. See, the Apostle Paul was a man who finished his race, finished his course, won in the areas that he needed to win, but it says he fought a good fight. Did you know that he did not win on accident? It took effort. It took a struggle. It took diligence for the Apostle Paul. It says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. And if you're going to finish your course, you're going to have to fight. It's going to be a struggle. In whatever area, whatever victories you must win in your life, it's not going to be done by accident. You must be diligent. You must do it on purpose. So if you get what you give, then your success depends on you. And look, and if your success depends on you, then you cannot blame others for your failures. If your success depends on you, then don't blame anyone else for your failures. Look, whose fault was it that Joash did not fully defeat the Syrians? Was it God's fault? When God promised him the victory, when Elisha said the arrow of the Lord's deliverance is there, when Elisha said God will give you the victory, you'll consume them to the end, when Elisha put his hand upon Joash and he's there to support him, to be with him, look, whose fault was it that Joash didn't utterly smite the Syrians? Was it Elisha's fault? Was it God's fault? No, it was Joash's fault. Joash was the one who decided to go so far. Joash was the one who was only willing to go so far. And look, Joash has no one else to blame but Joash. Go to Romans 14, if you would. Romans 14. And look, and if your success depends on you, look, then you cannot blame anyone else for your failures. And I'm talking about the areas in life that we must win. I'm talking about in the Christian life. I'm talking about in church. I'm talking about in your home. Look, there's no reason why in your home it should be the home that God wants you to be. It can be that. It can be. You can have the marriage that God wants you to have. You can have the children that God wants you to have. Look, the victory is there, is it not? But oftentimes, we fail to do our part. We fail to do what God wants us to do. And look, at the end of the day, no one else is to blame but us. In our Christian life, if we choose to get out of the will of God, to walk away from God, to live for the world, hey, nobody's to blame but you and I. It is our decision. It is up to us to win. Romans 14, notice what it says in verse 11. Romans 14, 11. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Notice what it says in verse 12. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. See, each one of us, we're going to give account of ourselves. The truth is, you know, I'm raising my kids, and if I fail, look, nobody's going to give account for that but me. And in your life, in your home, at your job, and whatever God has given you in your life, in this church, in your Christian, in your walk with God, at the end of the day, you will only give account for yourself. You're not going to give account for somebody else. Joash is not going to give account for Elisha. Elisha did what God needed him to do. He gave him the word of God. He was there to support him. But at the end of the day, Joash is only going to give account to himself. And you in your life, if you don't fully win in the battle that you must win, whether it's a sin, whether it's in your home, whether it's at your job, if you don't win, look, you're going to give account for that. Nobody else. And so if your success depends on you, if you get what you give, then here, realize you cannot blame others for your failures. Look, I can't blame other people for my mistakes and my failures in life. And you can't do that either. So realize that in your life, you only get what you give. Go back to view it to 2 Kings 13. 2 Kings 13. So number one, if you get what you give, then don't be half-hearted. Put your all into it. Put your heart into it. Put your energy. Put your effort into those things. If you get what you give, then your success depends on you. And lastly, I want you to consider this. If you get what you give, then ask yourself, you know, what do you want? If you get what you give in your life, then you got to ask yourself, hey, what do you want? Because you know what? You're deciding right now where you're going to be 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now. You're choosing right now where you're going to be in your life. And if you get what you give, then ask yourself, what do you want in your life? 2 Kings 13, look at verse number 19 again. It says, and the man of God was wroth with him and said, thou shouldest have smitten 5 or 6 times. Notice, then hast thou smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it, whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. I want you to notice what it says. It says, thou shalt smite. Elisha told Joash, you know what? You are going to have some victories. You are going to win some areas in your life. But notice what he says. It says, but thrice. But it's only 3 times. You're going to have some victories, but not all the victories. See, did Joash want to win? Yeah, Joash wanted to win. But he really didn't want it that bad. And when you look at the promises in the Word of God, when you look at the promises when it comes to your walk with Him, being close to God, you got to ask yourself, you know, what do you want? How bad do you want it? Because you will get what you give. And so you got to ask yourself, you know, what do you want in your life? Go to Psalm 90, if you would. Psalm chapter 90. And look, right now, you're choosing what you're going to get in the future. The path that you're on is decided by you. You're choosing where you're going to be 5 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years from now. Look, who do you want to be? What do you want to be? Look, that is your decision in life. That is up to you. And if you get what you give, then ask yourself, you know, what do you want? Psalm 90, verse number 9. Psalm 90, verse 9, it says, notice, for all our days are passed away in thy wrath. Notice what it says. We spend our years as a tale that is told. It's all our days are like a story. It says we spend our years as just a story, as a tale that is told. And look, isn't that what we're doing right now? Aren't we just reciting? Aren't we just telling the tale of Joash? And what story do we see in Joash? We see a man who God had promised him the victory. God said, you could win. We see a man who was supported by the man of God, who had his hand upon him. All the promises in the world. But what do we see? We see a man who was half-hearted. We see a man who didn't give it his all. We see a man who, yes, he had some victories in his life, but we see Elisha, a man of God, who was wroth with him. Why? Not because of the victories, but because of what could have been. He was angry because Elisha knew there was so much more for you, but you were only willing to go so far. And look, in your life, realize that you don't know what God has planned for you. And you're only limiting yourself in your life. So realize, hey, it's up to us to choose where we want to be. So ask yourself, you know, what do you want? What do you want in your Christian life? We know when God looks down upon you and upon me, when God says, you know what I want somebody who is zealous of good works. Do you want God to look down and say, there's a Christian who, they have their hand to the plow, but their heart's not into it. They have their hand to the plow, but their mind and their heart is somewhere else. Yeah, they're in it, but they're not really in it. Their heart's there, but their heart's somewhere else too. Is that the kind of Christian life that you want to have in the eyes of God? Look, if you're going to be that person, put your heart into it. You know, what do you want in this church? Like, do you want to be the church member who people look at and they say, you know what, that person's faithful. That person, they're always there to help. They're soul winning. They're always helpful. They pay attention. They listen. They're always a blessing to me. Or do you want to be the church member who, when you leave, nobody even notices because you didn't give anything? Look, ask yourself in your life, you know, what do you want in your life? You are writing the story of your life. And you will only get into that story what you put into it. So if you want it to be a bad ending, then do nothing. But if you want to be a successful person, a diligent person, then look, put your heart into it. So ask yourself, you know, what do you want? What do you want in your Christian life? What do you want in your church? Like, what do you want in your home? What kind of testimony, mom and dad, do you want your kids to have of you? Like, I hope that when my kids grow up, they'll have a testimony of a mom and dad who say, you know what? My parents spent time with me. My parents loved me. Why? Because they gave themselves to me. They gave their heart to me. But if you don't invest in your kids, if you don't invest in your home, you know, what kind of testimony are you going to have at the end of your life? You know, spouse, what kind of testimony do you want to have with your spouse? We should have a spouse who gives it their all, who gives it their heart, who's there for them, not a bad testimony. And look, you will get what you give. So ask yourself, what do you want in your Christian life? What do you want in your church? What do you want in your home? What do you want in your job? Look, what do you want in your life? What is it that you want? Because look, all of us, we have dreams, we have aspirations, we have hopes, we have a vision of how things can be. But the truth is, our success really just comes down to us. Is it hard? Yes. Will it take diligence? Yes. Will it cause us to fight a good fight? Yes, it will. But endeavor to win that battle. Endeavor to fight that fight. Verse number 12, it says, so teach us to number our days. He says, think about the end of your life. It says, teach us to number our days. Notice what it says. It says that we may apply our hearts into wisdom. And realize that God wants you to think about the fact that our days are coming to an end. And God wants you to think about the end. And he says, what I want you to do when you think about that end, if that's what you want at the end of your life, then I want you to apply your heart. Give it your heart. Give it your all. Smite upon the ground. Well, God promises you, hey, I'll let you win. You can have victories in your life. You don't know what I can do. Smite. And God, and you know what? We're only willing to go so far. And we get exactly in life what we give. And in your life, think about your end. Think about where you want to be. Think about where you want to go. And realize, hey, God can get you there. But would you just be willing to smite upon the ground? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning, dear God. I thank you for your word. I pray that you be with our church, Lord. I pray you be with everyone in Fresno. And I just thank you for your word and the blessing that this church has been. I just pray that you be with our pastor, God, while he's away, and our church family as well. And I pray you be with the rest of the day, God, and soul winning in church tonight, God. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.